We get things underway this afternoon, though, by getting on the telephone line, heading down the turnpike to Florida, and welcoming into the program Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Rich. How you been?
We've been great. It's it's getting wild in FCS football. This has been, and I've been doing this for a long time as you have, this is about as unpredictable a year as I can recall.
Yeah, it really is. It seems like pretty much every conference wants to eat its young. it makes for great talk, I'll tell you that. So you and I should be, you know, very happy, because every week it seems like it flips, you know, of who's looking like they'll go to the playoffs and who isn't, and the door is open for a lot of teams. There, a lot of teams still have their work cut out for them, but they have a path, you know, to possibly make the playoffs. They just need the right to ship. And I'm trying to think of my 17th cliche here. You know, I want to sound like a coach here, but no, a lot of teams control their own destiny, but we've seen a lot of parity, and that's something you and I have talked about before. So yeah, it's been that kind of a year so far.
Well, and I feel like in the big conferences, Big Sky, Missouri Valley, sure, CAA, you are likely to see at least one, if not a couple of teams that have three conference losses that still make it into the playoff field.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's possible. Especially when you're talking about like the Missouri Valley, because really, if you think about it, if you have three conference losses, you're 5-3, and in the Valley, that's a lot like being 5-3 in the SEC. You know, it's not necessarily a knock on you. I don't think you're not going to win the Valley with three losses, but can you be a strong at-large team? Absolutely. If you know, come through league play at 5-3, and you had a pretty good, you know, non-conference slate, well, maybe you went 3-1. We're looking at an 8-4 team with a good record in the Missouri Valley. That's a pretty good resume, especially in a year as crazy as this one.
Let's take a look at a couple of the big games from last week, and the ones that stood out for me. We start with the team we talked about last time, Sacramento State, taking care of business again last week.
Yes, this team gets more and more interesting and really is becoming one of the big stories. And you know, they've got a quarterback named Thompson who's just been lighting it up. Troy Taylor, we're looking to have Troy on the Hero Sports FCS Texas Corner next week, as they have a big game with Weber State next week, which may settle the Big Sky. But who would have predicted this? You know, we all thought that Weber State would be good. We all thought the Montana schools would be pretty solid. Eastern Washington and UC Davis have been a little down from our expectations. And the team that has kind of filled that void has been Sacramento State. They've been just mowing through the competition. They still don't have an FCS loss. Neither does Weber State, by the way. Mm. So it might be that game next week might be for the number 4 seed or higher if they can both keep their resumes clean. So it's been shocking. A 2-9 team that was 13th in the Big Sky last year fires their coach, hires one of the coordinators from Utah, and this happened. You know, it's one of the biggest stories of the year.
Well, another team that I thought I had finally figured out, and then Citadel went out and beat Furman. So, again, I have no idea on them.
Yeah, there's been a lot of those. but Furman is one that I would have staked a little more of a claim with than some of the others, because up until the loss against the Citadel, they really didn't have a bad game on their resume. You know, the two FBS losses were close, and they were winning in the fourth quarter, and then they had not lost to an FCS. Then the Citadel, who has the only P5 win of the year against Georgia Tech, you know, they've been up and down, but, you know, it was a nasty weather situation. We had a tropical storm come through the southeast, you know, this past weekend, and it dumped a lot of rain all the way up and down the southeast coast, and apparently that played a big factor, and the Citadel was able to just grind it, which is, they do well. The Citadel could still be a factor, too. So that was one of the more stunning upsets of last weekend.
We're talking with Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports. Let's take a look at some of the big games for this week, and a good one in the CAA, James Madison playing host to the Towson Tigers. What do you think there?
Yeah, and that one, I'll tell you, in the preseason, because of the fact that James Madison was not playing Maine because of schedule rotation, and I, you know, we felt very highly about Maine, and, you know, there's been injury problems, as you know better than anybody. Towson, James Madison, to me, looked like maybe the best matchup in the CAA, you know, when it came to battling for that number one spot. Well, Towson also has had injuries, and again, I love calling him a Swiss Army knife because Shane Simpson is a guy that can kill you in a lot of different ways, and he's out for the year. That happened a couple weeks ago, and he announced it publicly. He even hit me up on private message and went, "Hey, it's been great working with you." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "I'm done for the year." You know, and that's a big chunk of their offense gone because, hey, he was a running back that could catch the ball. You know, he was a great return man on special teams, one of the best, if not the best, in the nation. And so they've lost a vast weapon on offense, and they kind of hit the skids a little bit, although they did have a big win over Bucknell this past weekend, maybe the right ship, you know, there's that cliche again. So I don't know that it'll be that interesting, to be honest with you. And it's really too bad because Towson really needs to keep a clean sheet through the rest of the year to be in contention for a playoff spot. I think they can absorb this loss and then win out and still be in the discussion, but it's getting down to crunch time for them.
Well, that's why I feel in the CAA, unless I get shocked by Towson this weekend, I think JMU runs the table in the conference, and then it's everybody else, maybe as many as six teams fighting for probably no more than three other playoff berths from the league.
Yeah, that is a distinct possibility that we could go from the six berths we saw last year to four. You know, first of all, they're not going to get six.
No.
Big question at this point, I think, is four or five. And again, the whole every conference has a gravitational effect on the others as far as how many teams will get in. You know, people like to ask all the time just a straight up question like, will a CAA get five? Well, they can, but that means, you know, the OVC needs to have nobody other than their automatic bid. The Southland needs to not have two at-large teams. Maybe they need to have one or maybe none for, you know, the CAA or the Big Sky to get five or six. It's really hard to predict that this far out. But from what we've seen, the CAA is chopping itself up again, and it could be a four-team playoff conference if this keeps up.
You mentioned the Big Sky and a nice matchup coming up there this week. Weber State on the road at UC Davis.
Yes, before we can get to that monster Weber State-Sacramento State game next week, both those teams have got to get it done this weekend. And it's not an absolute guarantee. I mean, Cal Poly is no slouch program. UC Davis is hungry for a signature win. And those two California teams, UC Davis and Cal Poly, host really the front runners in Weber State and Sacramento State. So, you know, if those two top teams that don't have an FCS loss look ahead to next week, they could lose, you know, on the road. So those are very critical games to those two programs that I had four and five on my ballot this past week. I really think the winner of Weber State and Sacramento State probably ends up being the four seed or better. So, but first things first, you can't, if you overlook this weekend, you will get tripped up just like we're seeing in the parity discussion.
Well, the game of the week, heck, even ESPN has decided to get on board with it. A great matchup between South Dakota State and North Dakota State. This is going to be some exciting.
Yeah, it's back on an FCS campus, two-year hiatus, and the ones that were at JMU weren't bad matchups. The 2017 ESPN game day picked the Villanova game, which Villanova was a solid program at that point. And then 2 years prior to that, it was Richmond. And then North Dakota State, the times that ESPN game day came to Fargo, they were matchups like, I think, Mississippi Valley State, I think Incarnate Word, when they were just cranking up their program. They were obviously not picking those weekends because of the matchup. It was really more because of the marquee team. Well, you can make the argument that this weekend might have been as much about the matchup, which is, I really think, undoubtedly the best game of the regular season in the FCS schedule, as much as the fact that, you know, South Dakota State's been a pretty darn good program for a couple years. I really think it's more 50-50 on the reasoning behind this one being picked. Wisconsin losing helped a ton. You know, sometimes the dominoes have to fall.
That right.
2 years ago with JMU. But it's a great matchup, and the big question, besides, of course, who's going to win this thing, the big question is, will it be a 50-50 split on the game day show of how many Bison fans are there? or will South Dakota State defend their territory and drown them out? That's the big question everybody's asking this week.
Well, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Now, well, let me put you on the spot a little bit. Let's say, well, no matter what happens in this game, I don't expect the top three are going to change much. Maybe if South Dakota State loses, they drop one in the national polls. Is there anybody outside that group of the top four and then Sacramento State that you could see sneaking in and getting one of those seeds come December?
I don't know that it's likely, but here's a scenario where maybe something like that could happen. Let's say North Dakota State goes into Brookings this weekend and just pounds them. And South Dakota State has been consistently considered the number three seed up to this point. I could see, like, if a Sacramento State or Weber State really keep it clean, and again, those two FCS losses they both have really weren't bad losses either way, and they also will be thrown out by the playoff committee. I could see maybe the Big Sky champ, if they don't slip up again, slipping in to maybe that three seed. And again, I'm assuming that James Madison doesn't lose a game and that North Dakota State also doesn't lose a game. So if North Dakota State pounded South Dakota State, I could see NDSU 1, JMU 2, and maybe South Dakota State drops to the 4 or 5 seed and the Big Sky strongest team maybe gets up to 3. Now, if South Dakota State edges North Dakota State, that's the thing that's going to throw this all into a tizzy.
Right.
What do you do? You put JMU, because JMU, you throw the West Virginia loss out, and they're 11-0 against the FCS. Do they move up to number one? Or does South Dakota State, who has the potential to go 11-0 against the FCS with just that close loss to Minnesota, which again will be tossed out, go to number one because they beat the number one? And how far do you drop NDSU if they only lose by 2 points on the road to South Dakota State? I mean, this is the stuff that would make me pull whatever hair I have left out of my head, because I would have to give the committee props on this. That would be a tough, tough decision. So, and I think it's probably going to be a close game, so go ahead and plan on being bald by Thanksgiving.
That's what makes FCS football so great. Brian, always good talking with you. We appreciate it. Enjoy this weekend's game, and we'll check in again next Thursday with you.
All right, Rich, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It's Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports talking FCS football with us every Thursday here on Downtown. 19 minutes after the hour as we make our way toward 6 o'clock tonight.